more people should be joining shortly. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Yevamis is just about finishing up. They actually finish tomorrow. So I thought that we continue the theme and discuss topics related to the Daf Yomi. Again, you don't need to be learning the Daf Yomi. We give a unit that's consolidated here. You don't need to know anything else, but it'll follow along with the Daf Yomi. So we're going to be starting Ksubis Imit Hashem, and the very first Mishnah in Ksubis discusses when a virgin, a besula, should have her nesuin, and when an almana should have her nesuin. So it's very interesting. We take for granted that there's a concept of arusa, which in English is poorly translated as engaged, because it's much more than just being engaged. It's actually the first part of the marriage. That's erusin, which means that they're married. And if the woman would go and live with someone else, it would be considered already an act of adultery. And arusa is considered married. However, the Torah tells us that there's a second stage of the marriage, referred to as nisuin. Now, how do we know that from the Torah that there are these two stages of marriage? How do we know that there are these two stages of marriage? So we have in the Torah, in Parshas Matos, the Pasuk discusses Hataras Nedarim or Hafaras Nedarim. So the father has the right to annul his daughter's vows. If a girl takes an oath in order to afflict herself or something or whatnot, the father has the ability to annul the vow. The Pasuk goes on to say that if the girl has erusin, is betrothed to a man, so now the husband and the father share the rights to annul the vow. So they are made for her nedarim b'shutzvus. They annul the vows with a partnership. You need both parties to annul the vow. If one of the parties, the father or the husband, decides to validate the vow, so then the other party can't annul the vow on their own. That's arusa. However, the pasuk says that if she's in a nesua, in beis isha nadara, the pasuk says, if she took upon herself the oath or the vow in the home of her isha, of her man, of her husband, so then the husband has full rights to annul her vow. That's the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Matos. So already over there, the Torah describes that there are two stages of the marriage. There's erusin and there is nesuin. Another indication that there are two stages is the punishment for adultery. So we know the Parsha tells us that if a girl commits adultery while she's in arusa, so ironically, the punishment is more severe, that she receives skila. It's a capital crime, and she receives skila, stoned. However, if she commits adultery after the nesuin, after she's already in her husband's house, so then the punishment gets downgraded to chenek, to death by strangulation. So that's a topic unto itself, but we do see from there that there's a distinction between an arusa and between a nesua. We also know that the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Maseches Kedushin that erusin, the first stage of marriage, is affected through kesef, shtar, or bia. So either through giving her money, it can be in the form of shavi kesef, it can be in the form of value. The minig nowadays is to give a gold ring. Shtar, it can be through a marriage contract where the man would give the girl a document that declares her married and she accepts the document, or through bia, which is through an act of intimacy done for the purpose of erusin, and then they'll be considered married. What's not so clear in the Gemara is how is the second stage of the marriage performed? What exactly affects nesuin? So that's what we're going to discuss tonight. And this topic is from the very first topics in Maseches Ksubis, and that's where the Rishonim are found. What is the nature of Nisuin? How do we affect Nisuin? How do we bring the girl from the early stage of marriage, Erisin, to the final stage of marriage of Nisuin? So the Gemara tells us there's a Mishnah in Maseches Ksubis, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. Ha'av, the father, Zakai Bebitoi Bikdusheha, the father enjoys rights. He has rights over his daughter. He has Kesef Shtar Ubiya. He could Bikdusheha in her Kedushin, Kesef Shtar Ubiya, that he has the rights to accept her hand in marriage. The father can marry her to a husband. He gets to keep the money. He gets to hold the document, and he has the rights to give her over to get married through Bia. He also has the rights to something she finds. If she finds something in the street, the father would get it. He also has the rights to her wages, and he also has the rights, as we mentioned before, to annul her vows. And he also has the rights to be mekabel her get. He also has the right that if chas v'shalom the marriage doesn't work out, he can accept the divorce on her behalf. However, eino oichel peiros b'chaya. However, if his daughter, if the girl, independently inherits a piece of land from someone who's related to her and not related to her father, because otherwise her father would inherit it first. Imagine if her father divorced her mother and her mother passes away. So she would inherit something from her mother because her mother is no longer related to her father. She could theoretically inherit a piece of land. So the father would not have the rights to enjoy or the dividends that the land produces. Continues the Mishnah, Nisas. If she has Nisuin, if she completes the marriage with her husband, Yeser Olav Habal. The Baal has won over the father. So the Baal, the husband, has all of these rights. He gets her wages. He gets to annul her vows. He has all of these rights over his wife. It's a marriage contract. He has one up over the husband. He has one up over the father, that he gets to enjoy the dividends of any assets that she brings into the marriage. He's Oichel Peres Bechaya. So we see from this in the Gemara that an Arusa, when she's only betrothed, so the husband is not obligated to support his wife yet. He does not annul her vows alone without the partnership of the father. He would not inherit her if, chas v'shalom, she would pass away during that intermediate stage. He would not be allowed to contaminate himself for her. He wouldn't be allowed to attend the funeral if he's a Kohen, because they're not fully married. However, once they have Nisuan, once they finalize the marriage, they consummate the marriage, he brings her into his house and they're fully married, then he would inherit her. Then if he's a Kohen, he could attend her funeral, he can be Oisik in her Kfura, and then he has the full rights to be made for Nidoreho, to annul her vows. What exactly is the process? What is the mechanism for Nisuan? So we get the first inkling of what Nisuin is from the very first Amud in Maseches Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis tells us on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that the way it used to work back then is that they would have the Erisin. So he gave her the ring. They're married. She's in Arusa. Now, eventually, when the husband gets around to it, he would invite his wife, his betrothed, he would invite her to have Nisuin. So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Ksubis, Noisin lebesula shnei maser chayish, mishetava haba. Once the husband invites her to participate in the suin, let's finalize the marriage. So then we give her 12 months to prepare, to get ready for the upcoming nisuin. V'hizur ala nisuin. He warned her, he asked her, he requested her that he wants to have nisuin. Nowadays, we do it all at once. Nowadays, we have the erisin and nisuin all under the chuppah. Back then, they would have the erisin, and then he would be toiveya. He would invite her to have the nisuin. We would give her 12 months to get ready. And then, higiyaz manze, when the big day arrives, when the time to do nisuin arrives, v'loy nisu. And one thing or another, the husband defaults. So it doesn't mean that he's backing out. It means that for one reason or another, he didn't follow through. He didn't keep the date. So, loy nisu l'chopa. Eicheles mishaloy. He immediately, even though she's only in Arusa, he has to start supporting her. The obligation to support her kicks in as soon as the date of the Nisuin arrives, whether he follows through or not. be oichlis betruma, and the Mishnah there holds that if she's married to a Kohen, she would already have the rights to begin eating truma on behalf of her husband. However, the Gemara tells us something very interesting. Im era oinis, if something beyond his control happens, for example, he gets sick, or for example, she gets sick, or here's the key, or if she becomes a nida, if she's a nida on that day. So nowadays, when we schedule a chasana, we look at a few of her dates. She's been keeping track of her cycle. So they try to schedule the chasana on a day when she's not expected to be a nida. But everybody's anxious, everybody's excited. Sometimes the hormones are out of whack. She's pirsa nida. Imagine if she's a nida on the wedding day, on the nesuin day. She's pirsa nida. So the Gemara tells us that that is grounds to postpone the chuppah. And therefore, enu malu lamezonos. These are things that were beyond his control. He got sick, she got sick. They have to postpone the wedding. Or she's a nida. And that's going to be really the springboard for tonight's discussion. If she's a nida, that's grounds to postpone the nesuin. And therefore, he would not have to start supporting her because it was an oinus. It was something beyond his control. If he just defaults and misses the day, he doesn't show up, then he has to give mezainis. He has to support her. But if something happens beyond his control, he would be ready to follow through. But something beyond his control occurred, he's not obligated yet to begin supporting her. We postpone the nesuin till the next time, and then only then he'll have to start giving the mezainis. One of the examples of an oinus, one of the examples of something occurring beyond their control, grounds to postpone, legitimate grounds to postpone the nesuin, is pirsa nida, like she became a nida. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question that why is becoming a nida grounds to postponing the chuppah? After all, they're going to be married in Yitzhak Hashem for the rest of their lives. She's going to become a nida anyway once a month, unless she's expecting or unless she's nursing. So why is it grounds to postpone the nesuin just because she's a nida now? What does that have to do with the nesuin? So there's a well-known Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Ishus, in the 10th parak, Halacha Aleph, the very first halacha in the 10th parak of Hilchos Ishus, all the halachas that discuss getting married. Says the Rambam, Ho'arusa asura labayla midivrei sofer. That in arusa, she only had the first stage of the marriage. So although she's considered a married woman, although she's not allowed to commit adultery already starting from that point, it's much more than just being engaged. She's married. However, she's still forbidden to live with her husband as a husband and wife. Midivrei Soifrim, this is rabbinic. Kozman Shehibe Beis Aviyah, as long as she's still in her father's house. It doesn't mean literally in her father's house. It means figuratively, as long as she's in Arusa, until he took her as an Asur. V'haba al Arusa Soifrim Beis Chamav. If the husband, if the groom, lives with his Arusa in his father-in-law's house, again, it's figuratively. In other words, he didn't yet perform the nesuin. Makan oso makas mardus. That would be grounds to get rabbinic lashings because it's considered an act of znus. They weren't considered fully married. The marriage wasn't consummated yet. Says the Rambam, afilu im kiksha bebiya. Even if he married her originally with an act of intimacy, so he already lived with her, and that's how he affected the erusin. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, he's not allowed to live with her a second time in her father's house until he formally brings her into the nesuin stage. Now, I embolded the font. Here's the lashon of the Rambam. What is nesuin? Letoich beisai. The Rambam says two things. He brings her into his home. In other words, his rishus. He brings her into his rishus. V'yisyachet ima. And he secludes himself with her. Two things. He brings her into his domain, plus he secludes himself with her. And this is going to be actually very, very important. We're going to talk about this in a minute, that there is two, in the Rambam's opinion, there are two components to the nesuin. There's the taking the girl, the wife, into his domain, the act of taking her into his home, into his domain, and the second component is secluding himself with her. And we're going to discuss this more in a second. V'yafri shenelo, and he should designate her to himself. Now she's fully his wife. Continues the Rambam, yichud zehu nikra knisa l'chuppah. This yichud, this secluding themselves together, is what we refer to as the chuppah. And says the Rambam, whenever we discuss Nisuin, this is what we're referring to. We're referring to these two components, taking her into his rishus, into his domain, his home, and secluding himself with her. Now, in Halacha Beis, says the Rambam, this was Halacha Aleph, in Halacha Beis, says the Rambam, Kiving shenichnasa arusa l'chuppah, once the arusa, the girl, enters the chuppah, harezu muteres loy lovoy aleha b'chol esh yirtzeh, now they're permitted to live together as husband and wife, v'harehi ishtoy gemura l'chol davar, she's fully his wife now in every regard. U'meshitikonis l'chuppah, once she enters the chuppah, nikra nesua, she's referred to from now on as a nesua, even if they were not intimate in the seclusion, because they don't have to actually have intimacy, it just has to be that they seclude themselves together. Provided, says the Rambam, that she's fit to have bia, that she's permitted to him. So the Rambam holds that chuppah, what we refer to as chuppah, what affects the nesuin, is bringing her into his house, hachnasa l'reshusai, with a yichud that's ru'uya l'bia, with the fact that they secluded themselves in a way that would be conducive to live together as husband and wife, to be intimate. They don't have to physically, they don't have to actually be intimate, but the seclusion should lend itself, it should be conducive to have bia, and that is the chuppah, says the Rambam, that is nisun. Continues the Rambam, avlem haisa nida, and this is where the Gemara Ksubis came in, and this is how the Rambam understands the Gemara Ksubis. If she's a nida, so what's the problem if she's a nida? If she's a nida, she's not ru'uya l'biya. She's not fit for biya. Afo pi shenichnas l'chuppah v'nisyachad ima, even if they secluded themselves. Now, they shouldn't have. They weren't supposed to have yichud if she's a nida. The Gemara tells us in Ksubis that until they live together as husband and wife, if she becomes a nida, so then they're forbidden to be secluded together. They have to have a shomer. So because she's not fit for yichud, like gomru hanesuin, the nesuin was incomplete. Baharehi ke arusa adayin. It's as if she's still an arusa. Very elusive language, the Rambam says. It was not completed. The nesuin was not completed. And it's as if she's still an arusa. That's what the Rambam says. Now the Magid Mishnah, one of the commentaries on the Rambam on the spot, which we're actually going to bring some commentaries who disagree with the Magid Mishnah's interpretation. The Magid Mishnah takes the Rambam at face value. Das Rabbeinu, the Rambam's opinion seems to be, says the Magid Mishnah, Shehu Adin L'chol Davar, that if the girl is not fit for Bia, because she's a Nida, for example, that he cannot affect the Nesuin in any regard. She'ein Chuppas Nida Koina. The Chuppah with the Nida, it's an illegal yichud because they shouldn't have secluded themselves to begin with, because since they were never intimate yet, so they're not even allowed to have a yichud together. A husband and wife are only allowed to be secluded together when she's a nida because they already have been living together as husband and wife. But this husband and wife never lived together as husband and wife, so they're not supposed to have yichud yet if she's a nida. So the chuppah was an illegal chuppah, says the Rambam, says the Magid Mishnah, Bedas HaRambam, that the chuppah is not koina, lowly yorisha v'loyla tamala, that they're not married. They did not consummate the marriage. If chas v'shalom she would pass away, he would not inherit her. If he's a kohen, he would not be able to attend her funeral because they did not have a chuppah. The chuppah was ineffective because it wasn't loyla bia. That's the Magid Mishnah's interpretation in the Rambam. And the Magid Mishnah goes on to say that that would also seem to be the opinion of some of the Gaonim. V'yesh cholken, but the Magid Mishnah brings that there are those who argue with the opinion of the Rambam, and others say, the lo miboyluhu ele inin ksuba, that when the Gemara talks about a chuppah that's not fit because she's a nida, that was only talking about that he wouldn't yet have to give her the extra ksuba that he promised her because they never were permitted to one another yet. Avol l'shar dvarim chuppah gemurahi, but for any other thing, it would be a full chuppah. So we have the Rambam's opinion. Nesuin, when a husband and wife have Nesuin, he now is required to support her. He now would inherit her if she passes away. He now can annul her vows. He could now contaminate and attend her funeral if he's a Kohen. Most importantly, says the Rambam, they can live together now fully as husband and wife. We're not just talking about if they pass away. We're talking about enjoying a lifetime together. Now they can build a home together. Now they're permitted together as husband and wife. Says the Rambam, what is chuppah? chuppah is that he brings her into his home and he secludes himself with her, and they're able to be together as husband and wife. That is what the chuppah is. That's what affects the nesu'in. Says the Rambam, if she's not fit for bia, if she's forbidden to him, because she's a nida, so the chuppah is ineffective. She's ke'arusa. It says, if she's still an arusa, we did not complete the nesu'in. And the Magid Mishnah takes that at face value, that for all intents and purposes, she's still an arusa. Where did the Rambam get this from? So one of the sources for the Rambam is the Gemara we just quoted. The Gemara says that if they scheduled a wedding day and she happens to be a nida on that day, that's grounds to postpone the wedding. Because in the Rambam's opinion, they can't affect the nesu'in anyway if she's a nida. And that's why he's allowed to postpone the wedding. He's going to postpone the chasana, the chuppah. And that's why he's not obligated yet to support her, because we postponed the date of the wedding for reasons beyond his control. That is the Rambam's opinion. The Ran over there in the very beginning of the Masechta, the Ran brings this Rambam. The fact that it's grounds to postpone the wedding, says the Ran, there are those who learn from this line of the Gemara, this halacha that it says in the Gemara, that it's grounds to postpone the chasana, the chuppah hainu yichud. That chuppah means to seclude themselves together. Ulefikach, and therefore the Gemara makes perfect sense. Kishapirsa nida, if she becomes a nida unexpectedly, v'loy boal, and they were not yet intimate, asura lehisyachid, so says the Ran, the Gemara tells us that they're not allowed to seclude themselves together if they were never intimate yet, and she's a nida from the very beginning. Like it says later, hu yashem ben hanashim, v'ishtu yashena ben hanashim, that if she becomes a nida right away, there's an isra yichud. He sleeps in the men's department, and she sleeps in the women's department. They're not allowed to have yichud. The lav bas chuppah, she's physically unable to have the chuppah. Umishum hachi, therefore, says the Ran, ainu malal amazonis, that's why he has grounds to postpone the chuppah. He doesn't have to support her yet because the chasen is postponed for reasons beyond his control. Says the Ran, the im isa the chuppah lav hainu yichud, because if chuppah is not yichud, if chuppah doesn't require to be secluded together, if there's some other mechanism that affects the nesu'in, lama einu mala lamazainis, why shouldn't he go through with the chuppah, and why shouldn't he be obligated to start supporting her? There's nothing wrong. B'hachaz yil nesu'in, she's able to have nesu'in. Well, the fizeh, says the Ran, if we accept this proof that nesu'in is yichud, so if we accept this as the halacha, then halacha would be that they're not allowed to have chuppah. There's no way to have chuppah until she goes to the mikvah. And the Rav Bal Ha'itr adds that they shouldn't have chuppah until the ksuba is arranged, until the ksuba is written, because again, the husband and wife are not supposed to live together as husband and wife if they don't have a physical ksuba in their hands. If they don't have a ksuba, usually the woman, the wife, keeps the ksuba in a safe place, in her closet, somewhere accessible. So if they don't have a ksuba written up yet, if we accept the premise that the chuppah requires a yichud haru'uya l'biya, the chuppah requires that they're able to seclude themselves in a way that's conducive to be intimate. So without a ksuba, they're not supposed to be intimate. So just like the Rambam says that a nida, it's impossible to affect the chuppah, so you wouldn't be able to have a chuppah if she doesn't have the ksuba in order written up beforehand. Shekoydim l'chein asa l'bayla, because before you write up a ksuba, they're not supposed to be together. And that's the opinion of the Rambam, like we just saw. And the Ran there disagrees on the ksuba part, but so far the Ran entertains that chuppah is yichud haroy l'bi. So now, let's continue. I'm going to get more into this. The Ran brings another opinion here. Omiyo, however, says the Ran. Now, the Ran says something interesting. Even if we accept the premise of the Rambam that chuppah needs to be a yichud, however, says the Ran in item Zion, b'diyeved mahanya, but b'diyeved, if they secluded themselves together as husband and wife, they didn't have relations because she's a nida, but they secluded themselves together, after the fact, the chuppah is effective. So the Ran is already starting to argue on the Rambam. The Rambam says that if she's not fit for bia, if she's a nida, the chuppah is not effective, she's not completely a nesua, and she's like an Arusa. And the Magen Mishnah again explained that to mean that she's a fullness Arusa in every sense of the word. The Ran is already starting to argue on the Rambam. Even if we accept the premise that Chuppah is Yichud, the Ran says we have to admit that B'Yevet, it is effective in contrast to the Rambam. Why? Because the Gemara says in Yevamis, we had this not too long ago, the Gemara says in Yevamis, a whole sugya, Rav and Shmuel, yesh chuppah lepsulais, that even if an almana, if a Kohen Gadol, who's supposed to marry a besula, if a Kohen Gadol illegally marries an almana, and he has chuppah with her, he has chuppah, now that they weren't allowed to have relations because he's a Kohen Gadol and she's a widow. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. He can only marry a Basula. A Kohen Gadol can't marry an Almana. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us that the Chuppah, Yesh Chuppah Lepsulas, the Chuppah is effective. Avagad L'chazel L'Oil Mubiyah, even though she's never going to be fit for Biyah because she's forbidden to him. Nevertheless, the Chuppah is effective. So, so for a nida also, it's not worse than an almana l'kohen gadol. So this is, in yeshivas, we call this a bam kasha. This is a bam kasha on the Rambam. How could the Rambam say that chuppah with a nida is not effective, even b'di'eved, because it's not royal abia, because they're not allowed to have relations yet. So if you're not allowed to have relations, you weren't allowed to have the yichud. So the yichud, the chuppah, is ineffective. It makes sense in Svara. But how could the Rambam say that if the Gemara in Yevamos clearly says, Yesh Chuppah Lepsulas, that B'di'eved, even if a Kohen Gadol marries a woman who will forever be forbidden to him, nevertheless, the Chuppah is effective. So that's a Bam Kasha on the Rambam. The Ran continues, Acher Moimrim, others say, the Chuppah Lav Hanu Yichud. Now the Ran is fundamentally disagreeing with the Rambam. He's not just disagreeing with the Rambam in a detail that if chuppah is yichud, it's not effective, and the Ran says it is. Now the Ran fundamentally disagrees with the Rambam, that chuppah is not necessarily yichud at all. And the proof is, and here's another Gemara in Ksubis coming up, the Gemara says later that an almana, a widow, who already had nisuin, and her husband passed away, they've been married for 5-6 years, her husband passed away, Ein la ela mana. Her ksuba is half price. She only has a mana as opposed to 200. And here's what the Gemara says. This is a mafurisha Mishnah. Even though Eidim testify that she was never secluded with her husband and she never was intimate with her husband, nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that an almana from the suin, her ksuba to her next husband is only half price, is only a mana as opposed to masai. So the Mishnah there is telling us a chiddush, that the reason why an almana's ksuba is only 100 as opposed to 200 is not because she lost her virginity, even if we would know for a fact, because there are witnesses, that they never had relations and they never secluded together. Still, the Mishnah tells us the almana automatically is in a different category and her ksuba is only 100. But derech agav, we see from this Mishnah, Alma says the Ran that chuppah can't possibly be yichud, because how could the Mishnah, it's an oxymoron, how could the Mishnah tell us that an almana from the nesuin, even if she has witnesses that she was never secluded and she was never intimate, then what kind of yichud is that? How could she possibly be a nesua if they never even had yichud? So it's a mefurish a Mishnah that chuppah does not require yichud. This is a bam kasha on the Rambam. And the Ran goes on to say that the source for Nisuin has nothing to do with Yichud. The source for Nisuin is what we mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Matos, that the husband has the rights to annul her vows alone. The Pasuk says, Mi beis aviha l'shem, the beisai is Nisuin, that all he has to do is take her from her father's house into his own house to effect the Nisuin. And we learn it from Parshas Matos, beis isha Nadara, that she accepted a vow in the home of her husband, Isha, her husband. That's where she effected the vow. The husband has the rights to annul her vow. So it's clear in the Pasuk, and this is what the Ran is saying, that Chuppah, Nisuin, does not require Yichud. As a matter of fact, we have a case in the Gemara where a woman went through the Nisuin process. She was considered a Nisua. And there were Aiden, there were witnesses who were able to testify that she never secluded herself with her husband and she never had intimacy with her husband. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that her ksuba the second time around will only be a mana. But in the meantime, you see from here that it's possible to have Nisuin without ever having seclusion, without ever having intimacy. So it's mashma from the Mishnah, says the Ran, that as long as she's in her husband's home, in other words, as long as he took her into his domain, she's considered in his rishus, in his domain, and therefore she's considered a nesua. This is a bam kasha on the Rambam. So the Ran goes back to explain. So then why, if she's a nida, is that grounds to postpone the chasana? If anyway you could affect a chuppah without yichud, why does he get to postpone the chasana? So says the Ran, not because you can't affect the nesuin, it's because he's not obligated to. Hainu taima, says the Ran. Because since the chuppah can't lead to a bia, because after all, she's a nida, even though chuppah does not require yichud, even though he could affect the nesuin if he wants to, not like the Rambam, in contrast to the Rambam, nevertheless, the Chachamim did not obligate him to, because since it can't lead to a bia. After all, the husband and the wife, they had erusin, they're excited, it's the big wedding day, it turns out that she's a nida, they're not going to be able to be intimate, they're not going to be able to even seclude themselves together, he's going to have to sleep among the men, she's going to have to sleep among the women, it's very inconvenient, so therefore that's grounds to postpone the wedding altogether. Not that he can't affect the Nisuin, it's that the Chachamim didn't obligate him to have the Nisuin, that's why he doesn't have to begin the support, and that's why they can officially postpone the wedding. The Rambam learns in the Gemara that the reason why he can postpone the wedding is because he can't affect the Nisuin. Why can't he affect the Nisuin? Because Chuppah is a Yichud Haroy Labiyah. It has to be a Yichud that is conducive to have relations. If she's forbidden to him, he simply can't affect the Nisuin. So there's no greater grounds to postpone the wedding than that. There's no way to affect the Nisuin. The Ran has a few strong questions against the Rambam. First of all, the Mishnah says clearly that it's possible to be a nesua without even having ever secluded yourself. Still, she only gets a mana next time her ksuba is half price next time around. But it's still possible to be a nesua without ever even having had yichud. That's question number one. And question number two, the Ran asks, that the Gemara in Yevamah says clearly that there's yesh chuppah lepsulas, if a kohen gadol would affect the chuppah with an almana, they're never going to be allowed to be together. Nevertheless, the chuppah is effective. Yesh chuppah lepsulas. These are very strong questions against the Rambam. Says the Ran, so then why then is he allowed to postpone the wedding if he could technically affect the chuppah? Because they didn't obligate him to, because it's not going to be gishmak, it's not going to result in a bia, so therefore he's allowed to postpone the chuppah, the nesuin, till a more opportune time. Says the Ran.
Can you say that the chuppah, if it requires him to take care of mizonos, meaning he has to feed her, even if he's not intimate with her,
right?
Then chuppah works.
Okay, yeah. So according to the Ran, the chuppah works. So first of all, the Ran argues on the Rambam straight away that even if chuppah is yichud, the chuppah would be effective anyway. B'di'evet. That he argues on the Ran. Second of all, the Ran is fundamentally arguing on the Rambam, because it's clear to the Ran, and he has very strong proofs, that chuppah doesn't even require yichud, right? So now the question, Ezra, is, so if chuppah doesn't require yichud, why is it grounds to postpone the wedding and not be obligated in support, right? Because the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Ksubis, he can postpone the wedding. Why can he postpone the wedding? According to the Rambam, they have no choice. They have to postpone the wedding because it's not effective. But according to the Ran, it would be effective. So why can he postpone the wedding? Why is he allowed to postpone or not be obligated in support? Because simply the Chachamim didn't obligate him to go through with the chuppah if he's not going to be able to be intimate. If he would have the chuppah, he would have to support. But he's not obligated. He can postpone it. They can postpone the wedding for a week. Okay, is that clear? Everything's clear?
Yep.
Now, says the Ran, and this is how we passed in Halacha L'maisa, that because we're not makbid to have yichud, says the Ran, for chuppah, we don't paskin like the Rambam, therefore we're not makbid if she's a nida. The Ran says, obviously, it would be preferable to have the chuppah if she's not a nida. If possible, you can schedule the chuppah at a time that she's not a nida. But because we don't paskin like the Rambam, because we paskin that yichud is merely a symbolic hachnasa l'reshusai, it doesn't even require seclusion at all. So our minig is that the chuppah would be chal even if she's a nida. And says the Ran, you wouldn't have to make sure the ksuba is in order before the chuppah because it's not a yichud anyway. But the minig is, it's obviously better for her not to be a nida, and it's better to have the ksuba written before. So I ended off here at the end of Zion. Tzarech ian liyashiv dasa Rambam, that we have these bam kashas on the Rambam. How could the Rambam maintain that chuppah is yichud if it's pretty clear that it's possible to have an asuin without even having a yichud? Now, they ask another question on the Rambam, that the Gemara says in Ksubas and Daf Menches that there's a whole other type of Nesu'in altogether, that, like in the old days, that they send the horse and buggy from one village to the other to pick up the girl and bring her to her wedding day. So sometimes the Kala's family goes along in the wagon and attends the wedding, and sometimes the daughters, the Kala's family stays behind. So the Gemara there says that if the shluchei ho'av, if the girl's party hands her over to the messengers, to the agents of the Baal, that affects already nisuin on the road. It might not be so romantic. The husband's not even there. The girl's family passed the daughter off to the hands, to the agents of the Baal, and she's just sitting in a horse and buggy on her way from Warsaw to Vienna, who knows, and she's trudging along on the road, she's already considered a nesua. And again, the Gemara darshins that from Imbeis Isha Nadara, and the Pasuk says there that he can already be made for Nadareha, and if, God forbid, she would pass away, he would inherit her at that point, even though there was no yichud at all. Again, this is a bam kasha on the Rambam. And finally, the Gemara tells us in the Yushalmi, we know that a Kohen Gadol has to be married in order to perform the service on Yom Kippur, so the Gemara, the Yushalmi holds that if his wife would pass away, the Kohen Gadol would simply marry another woman on the spot on Yom Kippur and affect an Asuin, even though we know that we're not allowed to be intimate on Yom Kippur. So again, it's a kasha on the Rambam. How could the Rambam say that the chuppah is not chal if she's a nida, if she's not royal abir? So the Gornat, the Goyin Rav Naftali Trup, he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin during the times of the Chavetz Chaim. It's very interesting. The Chavetz Chaim was the owner of the yeshiva. He was the founder of the yeshiva in Radin, but he wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Naftali Trup. He served under the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim was like the Menahil of the yeshiva, and the Gornat, Rav Naftali Trup, was the Rosh Yeshiva, a big Rosh Yeshiva in the Radin yeshiva during the times of the Chavetz Chaim. The Gornat says that it would appear not like the Magen Mishnah that we quoted earlier, and that there are actually two distinct components in Nesu'in. The Rambam holds there's two types of Nesu'in. The Nesu'in, there are two objectives in the Nesu'in. There are two things that the Nesu'in has to affect. Number one, it acquires her, so to speak, to inherit her, to contaminate himself for her if he's a Kohen, or to annul her vows, or to have her wages, to earn her, to keep her wages, and conversely, support, right? So I would call this sort of like the contractual arrangement of the marriage. The marriage has two components. There's the contractual component of the marriage, that he has certain rights, and she has certain rights and responsibilities, and he has certain rights and responsibilities. Nisuin affects those kinyanim, those chusim, that now he can annul her vows, now he can contaminate himself for her, now he has to support her, she has to hand her salary over to him. This is the contractual component of the marriage. The second component of the marriage is the inyani ishus, the fact that they can live together as husband and wife, the fact that they can build a family together. That is the dvarim shebeinoy lebeinah, and that's the nesuin that permits him to be able to live with her as husband and wife. That's the second component of the nesuin. So there's actually, so to speak, the inyane ishus of the nesuin, and there's also the kinyanim of the nesuin. That's how, and that's what we were medayik before. The Rambam's lashon before was that every chuppah has two components. It's a hachnasa l'reshusai, that he brings her into his domain, and he's also miyachid, he also secludes himself with her. So we were medayik that the Rambam had two components. that corresponds to the two aspects that the Gurnat is pointing out. There's the contractual agreement that's inherent in the marriage, and there is the inyoni ishus, there's the living together as husband and wife. So when the Rambam says that the chuppah, that the nesuin is not complete if she's a nida, or the Rambam says she's ke'arusa, so perhaps we can move away from the Magen Mishnah. He didn't mean to say that it's a zero. He meant to say that we didn't affect the inyone ishus. And it makes sense, because in order for them to consummate the marriage, they have to be together as husband and wife. If she's forbidden to him, they can't be together as husband and wife. The contractual part of the marriage, that can be affected even if the yichud is not roi labia, merely bringing him into her rishus. That's what the Mishnah in Ksubis is referring to when the Edim testify that she didn't even seclude herself, or that they weren't intimate. She's an Isua in the sense that they had the contractual level of the Nesuin, and that's what the Gemara in Yevamos means, that there's a chuppah l'psulas, because it is possible to affect a Nesuin, the other component of the Nesuin, that they are married as far as the contractual agreement. But the heter ishus, that can only be affected with the yichud haroi labia. So far, we have two pshatim in what chuppah is. We have the Ran's pshat, that it's merely hachnas l'rishusai. We have the Rambam's pshat, that it's a yichud haroi labia. And then we have the Gurnat's nuance that even the Rambam agrees that contractually they're considered married with the Nesua, with Achnas and the Rishusai, but the Heter Ishus, the Heter to live together as husband and wife, requires a Yichud or Roi Labia. There's another Gemara, there's another Yishalmi in Yuma, the same Gemara there that discussed a Kohen Gadol marrying the woman on Yom Kippur in order to be able to perform the service of Yom Kippur. The Gemara says in the Yishalmi in Yuma, why couldn't he marry her yesterday? Why do we have to marry her on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara answers there in the Yishalmi, v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beso, he has to have a wife. V'lo ad shnei batim, he's not allowed to have two wives. So he has his real wife. If, God forbid, his wife passes away, he has to marry another wife. And Yishalmi says he would marry the woman on Yom Kippur. Rav Gamliel Baranyuni says, but wouldn't that be forbidden? Because we know you're not allowed to affect the kinyan on Shabbos or Yom Tif. So how can he affect the Kedushin and the Nesuin on Shabbos and Yom Tov on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, we say this many times, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they waived various certain rabbinic decrees. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's sort of like a free zone. We assume that the Kohanim know what they're doing, and it wasn't necessary to make the decrees, to make various decrees. So in honor of Yom Kippur, in honor of the service, will permit him to get married on Yom Kippur, although we wouldn't ordinarily permit someone to make a Kedushin or a Nesuin on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. We will permit it in order to enable the Yom Kippur service. Now the Yishalmi says something very cryptic. The Yishalmi says, Hada Amma, we learn from here, that Elin de Kunsen Armelin, if a man ever marries a widow, and it's very curious that we single out a widow, if a man is ever marrying a widow, meaning a man is marrying someone who was married before, he has to make sure that they had the Nesuin before Shabbos. Because otherwise, the Yishalmi just said, it's forbidden to have a Nesuin ordinarily. Yom Kippur was the exception, but it's forbidden ordinarily to have Nesuin on a Shabbos. So the Yishalmi says something very peculiar, that if a man is marrying a widow, he has to make sure to have the Nesuin before Shabbos, because you can't acquire a woman on Shabbos. So Tosfos in Yuma says, what's the difference between a widow or a virgin, a girl being married for the first time? So Tosfos offers two pshatim, what the Yishalmi meant to say. A besula, a girl who was never married before, she has a chuppah. So imagine if in the old days they would make a chasana on Friday. So they had a chuppah. So the husband and wife, they were already fully married before Shabbos because they had a chuppah on Friday. So now on Friday night, it's already Shabbos. So the husband is allowed to be intimate with his wife for the first time on Shabbos because they already had the chuppah on Friday. However, in Almana, says Tosfos, the Yishalmi apparently holds that she doesn't have a chuppah. She only can be acquired through an actual bia, and through intimacy. And what the Yishalmi means is, even though they officially held the wedding on Friday, they have to make sure that they were intimate before Shabbos, because he can't acquire her on Shabbos. So Tosfos is making a very interesting distinction based on the Yerushalmi that a Besula, a girl who was never married before, she's the Nesuin is affected with the Chuppah. An Almana, a woman who was married before, her second husband can only marry her through Bia, and therefore you have to make sure that the Bia occurred before Shabbos because you can't acquire a woman on Shabbos. Tosfos offers another explanation. Even if you'll say that an almana has a chuppah, and it doesn't have to have a bia, nevertheless, the almana's chuppah is a yichud, that's royal bia, versus a besula, she only has to be yatza behenuma. So this is a fascinating thing that Tosfos says in Yuma, that the Mishnah tells us in Ksubis, in the very beginning of the second parak, that a kala would go out with the henuma. We normally translate that as a veil. She would go out with a veil. Now, simply, when you read the Mishnah, you would never imagine that the veil affects the nesuin. You simply read the Mishnah that was merely proof that she was a besula. But the Tosfos in Yuma is saying that the Yerushalmi is making a distinction between an almana and a besula. An almana can only be acquired through chuppah or perhaps through bia, but the besula, she's already, we affect the nesuin with the henuma, with the veil. And that would be the chuppah, so therefore, that's the distinction the Yerushalmi is making. If you ever want to get married on a Friday and have relations Friday night, so says the Yerushalmi, you have to be careful. A besula, you already acquired her fair and square with the henuma, but the almana, she's not acquired until you have seclusion, and that sometimes wouldn't occur on Friday, so you have to make sure that you don't acquire the almana on Shabbos. So the distinction between a besula and an almana. The Kshuvis v'Hanhagas from Sternbach, he writes, what's possibly the distinction between a besula and an almana? So he offers a suggestion that a besula, she was never married before, so the mere fact that she had a chuppah with her husband is enough of a reason for her to be goymer umakne. She gives herself over. She has consent to become a nesua with the mere chuppah or the mere veil. However, an almana who's already been married, this is old hat, so to speak, this is a second husband. So in order for her to be goymer umakne to the second husband, you need more. She has to be more intimate with him than a besula is. A girl is excited to get married the first time. She's already goymer umakne. She gives herself over with the heinuma. But an almana who was already married before, she's not going to give herself over until they have a seclusion or until possibly they're intimate. So now it turns out, what is heinuma? The Gemara in Ksubis says on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, there are two pshatim. The heinuma is either a canopy or the heinuma is a veil. Now again, according to the Yerushalmi, that a besula has the heinuma, it comes out that there are two more possibilities what chuppah is, a veil or the canopy. So the Bach tells us in item Tazayin that nowadays, in order to be machmir, we try to fulfill all of these opinions. So imagine if they're getting married on a Thursday or a Friday. That was the derech in those days. So in the morning, they would put a veil on the kala. Says the Bach, in order to make sure that we fulfill that opinion, that that's the chuppah, so in Russia, which is our minig today as well, the minig is not to put the veil on the kala until the chassan is present, and he would help put the veil on. We do that today because the veil might possibly be a chelik of the chuppah. We also have the canopy, which would be the second pshat in heinuma. We also stand under the chuppah, that's the canopy. And then we also have the yichud in order to fulfill the opinion of the Rambam. If the girl is a nida, then we don't have a full seclusion, but we attempt to have a chuppah. So that is to fulfill all the opinions of chuppah. We have the Rambam's opinion, the Ran's opinion that it's merely hachnasa the reshusai. We have the Yerushalmi's opinion that it's heinuma, and heinuma is either a veil or a canopy. I saw something very interesting, that we all know the minig of Ashkenazim is that as soon as what we call the chuppah, the canopy, is over, the chassan and kala, the newlyweds, go into a room and they seclude themselves, and that's to fulfill the opinion of the Rambam. The minig of the Svardim, although the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, is not to do that. I saw this book, B'Shem Rav Avadia Yosef, that the minig is not to do that, And there are two pshatim. Either they rely on the opinion of the Ran that yichud is not necessary, or they're relying on the fact that after the chasana is over, the chasana and the kala will obviously seclude themselves in the hotel room or when they go to home, and they live happily ever after. They're going to end up secluding themselves in any case. I saw that Rav Avadya Yosef says that it might even be that the svardim hold that what we do is inappropriate, because as the Gemara tells us, Hakol Yoidim Kala Lama Nechnas Al Chuppah, we all know why the Kala goes into the Chuppah. So says Rav Avadya Yosef, perhaps the minig of the Sfardim not to have a Yichud after the real, what we call Chuppah, is because it's a Davar Mechur. It's not appropriate that the husband and the Kala, Chassan and Kala, should be Miyachad themselves Bifnei Kol Am Ve'Eda. Let's keep the intimacy separate and discreet. Afterwards, everyone's waiting by the suda for the photography and they're in the yichud room. So it's not discreet, it's not appropriate. So it very likely the Sfardim object to what we do. So it's very interesting that we try to fulfill all of the opinions, and even within the opinions, the Sfardim might not be fulfilling the yichud haroi lebiya part, even though that was the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. This might be an exception where the Sfardim do not follow the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. And they wait for the yichud.